the eighth chapter of Acts, we have an angel of the Lord here speaking in verse 26, speaking to Philip. Now, Philip has been in a Holy Ghost revival. He's been in a place called Samaria, and there's been a tremendous move of God in that city. Samaria, the history of what happened in Samaria, you go back and you can read in the Gospels about when Jesus was walking with his disciples. He said, I need to go. I must go to Samaria. And it turned out there was a lady there that had been living with men and had five husbands, was living with a man that was not her husband, but met Jesus at the well, and that's why Jesus needed to go to Samaria, because Jesus is interested in one person. No matter who you are, no matter how you lived, he's not gauging on whether he can love you, minister to you, help you, reveal himself to you, open your understanding. He does not gauge what he can do for an individual on how it's been. The only gauge God uses is the gauge that takes a look at what Jesus is and what Jesus can do. Amen. And so there at that well where he said he needed to go to Samaria, he revealed himself to this lady and he talked to her. And before the conversation was over, she was excited and she went into Samaria telling everybody, come see a man. Come see a man. And this is where the beginning of a great move of God that continued on. Some other things started happening. After that, Jesus was crucified and he had made promises and given instructions to his disciples. There was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. God, through Jesus, had told his disciples to preach the gospel into all the world. And he mentioned Samaria. He said, beginning at Jerusalem, but also go to Samaria and go to Judea and go to the uttermost parts of the world. Well, here we find in the eighth chapter of Acts, a lot of these things have now taken place. Jesus has been crucified, has blessed his people, left promises, went away, fulfilled his promise. And now we find this Philip is filled with the Holy Ghost. He's been there in Samaria and the whole city's been coming out and getting healed. People have been being baptized all over town. Amen. Because things opened up for them as a result of the visitation of Jesus to that little woman at the well. And people are being healed and set free. In the middle of all this wonderful jubilee, the angel comes and says to Philip, arise and go to the desert. Leave this mighty move of God and go to the desert. And when you look at the details of what happens here, again, God sees one person. One person. It's not all about all the shouting and all the hoorah, which we love. It's not all about the big crowds. Amen. If there's anybody out there anywhere, you're all by yourself, but you want Jesus, I promise you there's somebody that's willing to hear from him. And there's a way that Jesus will come to you. He doesn't just attend general conferences. He doesn't just go to the big camp meetings and the big churches where the big steeples are. He'll come to a man riding in a desert on a chariot. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, arise, go to the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure. This was an important man. He had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now he was returning and sitting on his chariot, reading the Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. No matter where you are in the Word of God, you can preach Jesus. Amen. From the book of Isaiah, he preached Jesus. From the book written hundreds of years before the birth of the Savior, he taught this man from that passage of Scripture about Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Somewhere in all that explanation, somewhere in all that reading, somewhere in that joining himself in obedience to God, an understanding came that Jesus is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the cup of water. That's not what it says. Oh, they went down both into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch. Now look, if you've been baptized and you weren't able to get inside the vessel that held the water, you may need to get baptized again. Because our examples in the Word of God is they got in the water. Amen. They both went, got in the water here. And he baptized him. And you know, I've told people that when you get baptized, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I've actually had some that pulled this scripture out and said, there's a scripture right here. It doesn't say anything about them getting baptized in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Do you have to have it say those exact words after every verse in order to be convinced? Or can you not believe the Bible might be true in the verses where it does say, be baptized in Jesus' name, and they were baptized in Jesus' name? Besides that, you just read about what Philip was preaching in Samaria and how they baptized there. They all those folks were baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. Peter and John came and helped them, laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. Amen. And what did he preach from Isaiah? Titles? He preached unto him Jesus and got him to the point. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? And they both went down in the water. And I guarantee you, Philip didn't baptize him any other way other than in the name of Jesus. And that's from the book of Rutledge, first chapter, first verse. Hallelujah. No, it's consistent. It's consistent. We, you know, like I said the other night, it's something more. It's not competition. We're not here as a small group of people saying, we've got a corner on truth and everybody else is wrong. We're not saying that. We're not believing that at all. We believe that everybody that has had a touch of God has had a touch of God. And who am I to argue against God's blessings? If God wants to bless somebody that may not be called whatever label I may be referred to or you may be referred to, if God wants to bless somebody who may have come up in a different belief system or teaching system, if God's doing the blessing, who are we to argue against it? I just want to be a part of where miracles happen. I want to be a part of where God blesses, where God moves. I've heard testimonies of people who were touched the first time by the hand of God in a bar room. Now, that doesn't mean that bar rooms are the best place for you to hang out. Amen. But God is not limited by anything that may be in the surroundings or whoever may be going through whatever they're going through or whatever unbelief might be present. God can do anything regardless of the circumstances. Amen. And I know people who had that first touch of God in a bar room while drinking. While drinking. And you know, I could stand around and say, well, I don't believe God could do that. But that wouldn't change God. And you know, it wasn't the last touch of God, but it was the beginning of a relationship. I talked about Sammy. I'll briefly mention him. Or let me talk about Chip. Chip was in the bar room. And he was a friend of ours. Came to church a couple of times. He was drunk. And he was in a bar room. Two drunks were sitting beside him, complaining about God. One of them was saying, I don't believe there is a God. If he is real, he's not good. And one of them was saying, yeah, you know, why did so-and-so have to die? If God was good, he wouldn't have let that person die. And what about all these bad things that happened to all these good people? They were talking like that and just drinking and talking bad about God. Chip didn't know much about God. He'd only been to church a couple of times, but he didn't feel right about that conversation. So he said to these men in that barroom while drinking his beer with them, I don't think you need to talk like that. And they said, well, what's it to you, Chip? You're a drunk just like we are. And while they all three sat there drinking, Chip said, well, I still don't think you ought to talk like that. And you start breaking away from that negative talk and that negative way. I don't care where you are. And you start acknowledging God in any degree, you're going to have the attention of the Creator. I don't think you need to talk bad about God. And they got louder, so Chip got louder. Amen. They were saying, what's it to you, Chip? You're a drunk like we are. And he said, well, if you're going to talk bad about him, then I'm going to try to talk to him. And as they talked about how bad God is, Chip got on his knees in that bar room and said, God, I don't know you. I don't even know if you exist. But if you're out there, and if you hear me, my name is Chip. Hallelujah. And he said, until this day, that was years ago, Chip said, something grabbed a hold of him right then. Right there in that barroom. It caused him to feel a desperation to get out of that place and go find a preacher. Now it was 2:00 in the morning. Amen. But it didn't matter to Chip. He showed up at our door, knocking on our door with a big package of cigarettes under one arm and a 6-pack of beer under the other. And he told my dad, who was the preacher, he said, this is all for you. Just one man, not on a chariot, not a little lady at a well, but a man in a bar room. In our lifetime. Not just something we read about in the Bible. But I watched that man go down in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus. About 4:00 in the morning. Just my dad had gotten out of bed. I got out of bed. And just a few of us went over to the church while Chip walked the floor. Saying, oh God, my mama won't understand. My daddy won't understand. His daddy was a very influential lawyer. Very successful lawyer. And he never did understand. He went to his death not understanding why Chip wanted to join this, what he thought of as a cult. But Chip found something. He found a caring, loving God that's not going to hold himself back because of where you may be. If there's something in your heart that says, I want to know you. If there's something in your heart that wants to call out to God, it says, if you're there, I want to know. Praise God. I watched that young man go down in the water, come out praising God. And a few days later, his friend Sammy saw what was happening to Chip. And he crawled up into a sewer pipe in the back of an old paper mill, an old drainage pipe that was not being used anymore. And he crawled up as far as he could in that old drainage pipe, all by himself, one of Chip's drinking buddies. He got back in that old drainage pipe and he said, God, my name is Sammy. I don't know you. But if you're real, I want to know you like Chip knows you. And according to his testimony, by the way, Sammy's pastor of a real nice church today, just full of the Holy Ghost. Joy and speak with full of the Lord. He's going to come up here and preach for us one of these days. Amen. But Sammy, according to his testimony, said when he saw what happened to Chip, I had to try it myself. Amen. Way back in that old drainage pipe where nobody was listening. Doesn't make God any difference where you are. You can crawl any hole you want to crawl in. You start talking to Him, He'll be there. He'll be there. He'll be there. And it's not, He doesn't, yeah, they get blessed in all these big crowds and all these, you can turn on the television and see thousands of people praising God. And God does bless in these places. But He's just as big a God for the remote individual, all by yourself, lonely, wondering if He's even there. As soon as you start believing He might be, could be, just enough to just start talking to Him, maybe perhaps read a little scripture, God's going to take somebody from somewhere and say, go join yourself to that one. And you're going to find yourself saying, I want to know more. And when you finally get to the real good part of all this, somebody's going to preach unto you Jesus. Somebody's going to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. When you start talking about Jesus, you got a big subject. I could spend the rest of the day, I could talk all night about Jesus. Probably couldn't. My voice probably wouldn't go that long. But I could try. Amen. Can you think of anything Jesus has ever done that's good? Hallelujah. Can you think of anything Jesus has ever done that's good? If you're out there somewhere, and I know we have thousands of people watching and listening. I know we do. Amen. We have ways of knowing that. If you're out there watching, and I know out of all the numbers of people, and people that are here, and people, the million or so that will be watching what I'm saying right now and listening on television. If you're out there, certainly, in all these numbers of people, there must be a few here and there. Just a few here and there somewhere that need to know something about Jesus. And no matter where you find yourself in life, Jesus wants you to know about Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you who Jesus is. In the very beginning, when you read about God in Genesis, you go to Genesis and start reading about in the beginning God created. You can go to your friends, you can go to a lot of people, and they'll try to explain who God is to you. But you just stay in the Word of God and talk to God. God will reveal Himself. And you start reading about God's creation, you see that God spoke. God spoke. God said, let there be. Let there be. He spoke. He spoke things into existence. And you get over in the New Testament, the book of John, the first chapter, and you read these words. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Then it talks about how He came to His own. And His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And then you get to verse 14 in John, the first chapter. And it talks about how that Word that was in the beginning with God and was God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know what? You just read that and let God speak to your heart. Lay down all your traditions. Walk away from mainstream religion long enough to listen to God. Go away from all the traditional historical teachings and all the writings you might find in the libraries and the big concordances and, I mean, the big commentaries. And nothing wrong with all those things. They're all good in their place. But sometimes you need to get something besides men's ideas. Something besides collected materials built on what somebody else thinks and what they thought, because a private interpretation can be handed down from generation to generation. And on something as serious as eternal salvation, we don't need to take a chance and find Jesus playing second fiddle to a first fiddle God. We need to find that Jesus is declared in the Bible to be the first and the last. That which was and is to come. We need to find that Jesus, who is the Almighty, who was the Word of God, that was in the beginning with God and was God, and was that very force that came forth when God spoke and the world came into being. When God spoke and the sun started shining. When God spoke and the stars, the Milky Way, took its place. When God spoke and the mountains and the streams and the animals and all humanity started coming forth. When God spoke, it was simply the Word that was later made flesh. And dwelt among His people. Went about manifesting the Eternal Father who spoke Him forth. Amen. It caused all creation to come about. That's why the Word can read and we can see it clearly. He was in the world and the world was made by Him. Amen. He came to His own and they received Him not. You know, without Him, it's not talking about some other person in a Godhead. It's talking about Jesus is in the world and Jesus is the God that made the world. Amen. I'm telling you, when Jesus made the world, He wasn't a man. There was no place for a man to sit back in those days, which there weren't any days. When Jesus made the world, He was a part of something that's way too big for my little mind to comprehend. But somewhere along the way, we got to just believe there had to be a beginning of this stuff. And you can go to all men, you can go to scientists, you can go to anybody you want to and try to find out the origin of everything, and everybody ends up with confusion and a lot of theories. So somewhere along the way, somebody needs to have faith to believe that God can speak and God can be real. Hallelujah. And we didn't just happen to fall together like this. We're so complex. There's so much to creation. There's no way that we just fell together. Or maybe a tadpole crawled out and became a frog, and a frog became a monkey, and a monkey became you. I don't believe that. That's nonsense. Hallelujah. I ain't got no better sense to believe God is able to cause Moses to write, in the beginning, God created a heaven and the earth. Come on, Moses, I'm going to pass by and I'm going to let you see my hinder parts. Now start writing. In the beginning, God created a heaven and the earth. The earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I suppose Moses was writing things he had no idea what it was, but it was coming, and it was coming fast. And he was writing. All the prophets of old and the apostles, they wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. And none of this is for private interpretation. So we don't need to grab something that somebody interpreted for us years ago and said, you're supposed to believe it like this. We can consider what they had to say. But when we start learning about Jesus, we need to find the Jesus that the Word of God declares to be the everlasting Father. That same Isaiah that this Ethiopian unit was reading from, those scriptures, that same man Isaiah wrote under the inspiration of God, amen, that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Does anybody know at this point who that son may be, who that child may be? That prophet's proclaiming that a child will be born, a son will be given. Would you call his name if you think you know who he's talking about? Amen. And you see, you can go to Isaiah and you can preach Jesus. You can preach Jesus all day long from the book of Isaiah. When you start reading about unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. It's easy to recognize. That's talking about Jesus. Amen. And his name shall be called, say it with me, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Whoa! We're talking about Jesus here? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he shall be called, his name shall be called Father? Everlasting? Hey, there's a lot of theology to argue against you, but you stick with the Bible. It's possible that the Son of God can also be the Father of the Son. God can do anything. Hallelujah. In fact, he was talking to some of his disciples and they were saying, tell us who the Father is. Show us the Father. We'll be satisfied if you'll show us the Father. Just let us know who the Father is. He said, have I been so long with you and you haven't seen me? Hallelujah. Come on now, show us the Father. Just explain who the Father is. He said, I and my Father are one. We're a little satisfied if you would just show us. Show us who the Father is. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That goes against theology. Then he went on, and you read it for yourself. Except you believe I am he, you will all die in your sins. That's what it says. So whether you understand or not, you need to believe Jesus is the Father. Let's praise him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The first, the last, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, that which was and is to come, the Almighty. Not co-equal anything, the Almighty God. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him. He doesn't dwell in a three-part Godhead. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. Not in them, in Him. Jesus is a manifested Father, Son, and Holy Ghost walking about doing good. Saying, when you've seen me, you've seen Him. When you've seen me, you've seen God. When you've touched me, you've touched Him. When you've heard me, you've heard Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is Almighty. You try to make a man out of God and a man out of Jesus and a man out of the Holy Ghost, you get confused. But if God chose a man to be for the Holy Ghost and the Father and the Son, it's all manifested. And then told all his disciples, now when I get out of here, you teach everybody in the world. They need to repent and be named and be baptized in the name of this one right here that stands before you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but what's the name? Thought you'd never ask. What are you going to say, Peter, on the day of Pentecost? When the multitude comes together and say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Say it with me. Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even unto as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wonder why he said, save yourself after saying all of that. It's because if you want to be saved, you need to repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you know, there's no reason to argue and fuss and say, well, I got saved without doing all that. Why settle for thinking that's true when you can actually find out that what you got was something unto salvation? You believed unto salvation. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's one of the greatest things you can ever do. That'll take you all the way. Grab a hold of the one that you believed in. If you've accepted Him, now He's waiting on you to become acceptable. Guess I'll come around the front. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The only way we can become acceptable is get sin out of our life. The only way we can do that is let God take it out. How does He do it? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Every one of you. Doesn't leave anybody out. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Don't go around saying, what about my grandma? If I do this, what will happen to her? Look, evidently it's important enough that Mary needed to do it. So if your grandma missed it, you just need to get your mind off of her and do what's right. Because nobody needs to go to hell to be with grandma. I ain't saying grandma's going to hell, but you're not going to change her destination. But you can change yours. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So much victory in Jesus. So much victory in Jesus. How can I understand? Let some man guide me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a funeral I preached a few days ago. The obituary. I'm not judging anybody. But I had to preach a funeral for somebody that didn't go to church. Didn't live for God. Lived a lifetime. And died. I'm going to tell you something. I always say good things at these places when I'm asked to do these things. Try to be as comforting as I can, but it's so much easier when death comes to be able to talk about obedience to God. Somebody that believed in Jesus. I still can't judge. I still can't determine which way they'll go, but it's just so much easier when somebody's before you having lived their life knowing that individual did what the Word instructed. Thank you, Jesus. Believed on the Lord Jesus. Obeyed the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're all facing that time. We're all facing that time. Amen. But don't wait till you get old and ready to die. Because God's got a whole bunch of people out here that need Him. And He wants to be laborers together with us to go after them. And He's not looking for a bunch of old people in wheelchairs to work with going up and down these avenues. He'd like to have some young folks with some muscles, some energy. Somebody can jump and shout and show people what it is to demonstrate your worship in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just jumping and running and saying, whoop, glory, hallelujah. Sometimes that's hard for a 95-year-old person to do. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. The world needs somebody to remember. Out there somewhere, there's one more person that if you can get to them with truth, with God in your life, they can be made a new creature. All you need to do is find where they are and preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. If you need something from Jesus today, reach out to Him. He's here right now. He's here with healing. He's here with salvation. He's here with everything you need. Blessings overflowing. Hallelujah. Reach out and touch Him. Reach out and touch Him. Amen. Let yourself go in the Holy Ghost. There's no formality here. There's no reason to hold back. Thank you, Jesus. The power and demonstration of a human being praising God. Amen. God deserves our best. If we can shout at a ball game, we should shout more in the presence of the Lord. If we can shout and rejoice when we receive a gift, we should rejoice more knowing that the Heavenly Father is blessing us right now. Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise be to Jesus. Praise be to Jesus. Praise be to Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise you. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Praise you for being tender, long-suffering, patient, merciful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. This is a part of a set-apart ministry that's been around for a couple of thousand years. Amen. We're part of something that's been around for a couple of thousand years. We got in on it in our lifetime. What we preach in this little place here is exactly the same message that the apostles taught in the Word of God and what Jesus told them to teach. Amen. This is not, we're not Protestant. Protestant has a history of breaking off from the Catholic Church. We're not Catholic. We're not against Protestants and we're not against Catholics. Catholicism has a history of beginning a couple of hundred years after the original church founders were dead. And some of the things that were brought about in early Catholicism was the teaching of a triune God. 325 A.D. it was established by an emperor to settle an argument between two bishops, that everybody has to from now on believe that God is three equal persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, all co-equal in every way. But see, for an emperor to decide that for all of us meant problems for those who really knew the truth. And that was not what the apostles taught. That's not what Jesus taught. Amen. And so, because of the fact that there were a lot of these Jesus people that didn't want to swallow this, they just took all them, rounded them up. You go read the Fox Book of Martyrs, you go to the library and you can read about the history, where we come from. They jab big stakes to them from their mouth all the way out their bottom, put them on poles. They put them, tied them to wild animals. I'm talking about Jesus' name baptized. People who believe that God is a spirit who was able to manifest himself in the only begotten Son and pour out his spirit upon all flesh. These people were tortured, burned at stake. Some of them cried out, "If it was worth it, you'll see me waving my hands as I burn, saying, Jesus, Jesus." And they went out of this life on fire, saying, "Jesus," and sunk down into the flames. That's where we're coming from. Amen. If you won't dare to be set apart, praise God. You can be one of us fanatics, and you can be the happiest person on the face of the earth. And I don't care where you are, who you are. You don't have to fight anybody, but everybody that wants to believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, surely you would like to know the full truth of who Jesus really is, so you can really have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I know it's time to go, but I just got to say that's for all those tuning in. We always have a large audience of people who hear bits and parts, and they don't understand. And they want, you know, you give some of your friends and tell them a little bit about what I said, and you're going to hear somebody say, "Oh, that's those Jesus-only people." No, we're not Jesus-only. We're Jesus-everything people. Jesus is first, last, beginning, end. That which was, is, and is to come. Praise God. The Almighty. I don't mind being called Jesus-only, but that spirit that says they're Jesus-only, they're trying to say they leave off the Father. They leave off the Holy Spirit. No, 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 no. Let me say once and for all again to all of our audience out there. Everybody repeat after me. This is exactly how we believe. I believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And we baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And everybody in here cooperated. So if all this preaching confused you, you're probably really confused now. But when you get to the bottom line of it all, we just believe not the way that's been handed down traditionally. We believe in the way Jesus taught it. That God is a spirit. That's our Father. The Spirit is our Father. The Creator is the one who's everywhere all the time. He's not a first person. He is eternal everywhere. God. And the Son of God was brought forth by this eternal Spirit. And the eternal Spirit that made all things put inside His Son the ability to manifest the presence of the eternal, omnipotent God. And sometimes you found Jesus walking on water, multiplying food to the multitudes, healing the lame and raising the dead. Only God could do these things. But only God was doing these things. Thank you, Jesus. And when we received the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word there in the book of Acts. The Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. Fell on all those people. They all began to speak in tongues. That was not a person falling down on everybody. It was the same Spirit. Everybody say, by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. God is a Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is God the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God the Father. In fact, the Word says that the Virgin Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost and brought forth His Son. So the Father of Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And Father God. And Jesus. Let's praise Him right now. Hallelujah. Amen. And we baptize in Jesus' name. That is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Oh, hallelujah. Can you clap your hands to the Lord? My Lord. It doesn't get any better than that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. His word is true. Praise God. And don't be like
You know, I was reaching for a gentleman about 18 years ago in high school. Met him in high school. His family was breaking up. And I related to him what I had been through. And enough that he just clung to us. His whole family came to the church. He's praying in the altar. And just a great move of God. And then a few days later, they stopped coming. And they stopped coming for religious reasons. So there's always going to be something to persuade you otherwise. We're going to preach the truth, and then somebody's going to say, no, that's not right. But you know, you have the Word now. You've heard enough scriptures to look at that Word yourself, and when every enemy comes up and says, well, you don't have to be baptized in Jesus. You don't have to do what those people say. You've got enough to tell you right now that that's a lie. Anybody tells you, you don't have to be baptized in Jesus' name, you don't need the Holy Ghost, that God is something else besides the Spirit, you've got enough scripture today to tell you otherwise. As it's written in the Word of God in Romans 4, let God be true and every man a liar. God knows who He is. And if you'll ask, He'll give you understanding. He's not confused. You are. Praise God. And He's not the author of confusion. You are. You're involved in that. But if you want the truth today, all you could do is stay humble before the Lord, even if you don't understand. Look, I've been there. I've been a couple years with the Holy Ghost in my life and still not understood the message. But I believe God. And God can reveal it to you. Amen. All right, one more time. Let's ask the Lord to bless. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh God, we love You. Thank You for the gospel. Thank You that You're right. And that You can make us right. In Jesus' name. For there's no other name given. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Bless this people today. All these